seated. The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 15. Please join me there. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 13. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we look at your word and as we can look at these broad ideas and say, yes, Lord. Help us to boil them down to our own heart, to apply them to our own thinking and our own affections, to apply them to our relationships with each of our neighbors, the closest to the furthest. God, and be glorified as our thinking is conformed to what is true and right and holy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I grew up, I was somehow trained to love the things that were strong. And by strong, I mean physically strong. I thought it was great to have dogs. And my brother and I, we each had a dog growing up. And we would camp with our dogs and we would enjoy our dogs. And once we were camping and my dog, Bobby, and my brother's dog, Mary, they got this raccoon cornered. And they're barking at this raccoon, and my brother and I are standing, and we're rejoicing in the might of our dogs as they've got this dog cornered. And my friend's dog, who was considerably larger, walked past our two yiping dogs, grabbed that raccoon by the neck, twisted and bit. There was a crunch like someone cracking their knuckles, and he stood up and walked away with the dead raccoon. My brother and I were looking like, what was that? And our dogs were looking like, what was that? And I thought, now that's a dog. There's a dog. Well, later on, as I moved from home and I moved from the country and I was living in Pittsburgh, I didn't have a dog for a long time. And one of my friends, one of my roommates, he acquired a dog and said, I've got a dog for us. And I thought, wonderful. Finally, I'll have a dog again. And he brings this dog in. He was some strange terrier mutt with crazy, like, blonde hair that stuck up all over him. My friend was a musician, and he said, his name's Squirt. I said, Squirt? He said, yeah, Squirt, the punk rock dog. Because he had this crazy hair, and I thought, well, at least I have a dog. Well, I took this dog, and I thought he was going to be wonderful. And the first time I walked him, we were outside. And all of a sudden, the wind blows, and there's a driven leaf coming, scraping along the sidewalk. And Squirt freaks out. He starts flipping and whining, literally flipping and jumping and trying to get away. My dog was afraid of a leaf driven by the wind. I was was not impressed with my dog's strength. From then on, and continuously, Squirt the punk rock dog was a continuous disappointment to me, as he was nothing but a coward constantly, and I was very, very annoyed with this weakling of an animal. Later on, and as Leslie and I started considering adoption at one point in our lives, we watched a video, and this video that was shown to us was about a child and told from the first-person perspective of this child. And as the child was growing, the child was abused by someone. He was hurt. The child was then put into a foster care system where he was hurt again. And as time went on, he got older and older and older in the foster care system. And it described this child's heart to where this child hated weakness because he had himself been abused in his weakness. So whenever he saw someone or something that was weak, he despised that child or that person in their weakness, and he wanted to hurt them for being weak. Now, as we look at our own lives, I wonder if any of you would see any reflection of yourself in that. Some place where you've been weak, you've been hurt, and later on, you're mad when you see other people and you want to make yourself greater. Well, as we look at this and as we look at these scriptures here, this idea of strength and weakness is being given to us, and it's being described to us here, the purposes of the weakness and the purposes of strength. And that God is to be glorified in weakness, where we who are strong care for the weak and receive them. Now, the easy application is to think of physically strong, isn't it? As we would see someone carrying something and they're not strong enough to do it, and those of us who are strong say, sure, and we come in and we'll happily carry something for someone else because then we feel strong and we have accomplished something. Well, as we look through Romans 15 and as we work through these ideas, we see that weakness, that the weakness that's being referred to isn't necessarily the physical weakness, but the weakness of faith. And we can also think in terms of the weakness of our intellects, that we would look down on other people who aren't as strong as us. Now, as we deal with these ideas, we have to look and see that in these circumstances, you are meant to glorify God when you're troubled by other people's weakness. There's something that's meant to be accomplished when you see these people and you are annoyed. There's a work for you to do. So this is the call for you this morning, to glorify God when troubled by other people's weakness. Our first step now is identify your strength. Identify your strength. Look with me at verse 1. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength. Now, so this presupposes that each of us here have some ability. There is some strength in you. There's something that you are able to accomplish. Now, a way to identify your strength is to look and see, where are you annoyed with other people? Who ticks you off in their weakness and in the things that they do not accomplish? It's very likely, if you look at your inner circle, your closest neighbors, you'll find something there. Somewhere where you are annoyed with your closest neighbors, either in your house or your immediate neighbors or in the circles that you travel with in church. What annoys you about them that they can't do or that they don't do? This is going to be a demonstration to you of your own strength and the strength that you are meant to use. Now, this is a tough one because this totally flips the tide on you. This turns the tables on you. Leslie and I, we have had our arguments. And one of our arguments is, she doesn't talk loud enough and she doesn't enunciate. Her answer to this argument is that I'm hard of hearing. I don't hear so well. And I say, no, I hear very well. You don't enunciate. You mumble. She says, no, I don't. I'm speaking clearly. And I say, no, So one day, as we had this wrestling and this struggling, I thought, what are the ramifications if I don't hear so well? And I realized the ramifications of me not hearing so well is she has to speak up and enunciate. So one day I finally said, you know what? You're right. I'm hard of hearing. She said, yes, no, wait. When there's a weakness on one person's part, it's left to the other person to make up for it. And that's what we deal with. We look and we see our strength. What are our abilities? So, if you're looking now, and I'm telling you, look now, figure out what your strength is. In your immediate family, where are you annoyed with people? In your broader family, where are you annoyed with people? In your church, where are you annoyed with people? Because they're not performing up to your expectations. This is your strength. And this is the strength that is to be used to care for other people and help them. Now, some of us, there might be some physical strength involved in this. Some of us, it's going to be the intellect. If you're able to understand things that other people don't seem to grasp, this is you. You have to then bear with people in their weakness. If this is your theology, if you've got the Westminster Confession figured out forward and backwards, and you're annoyed with people who can't pull it off, you're in a position of strength to help other people, to please them, not to make them smaller. You see, the thing that we do when we're annoyed with other people, we're, you know those little greater than and less than signs? When you look at somebody else and you're annoyed with them, you're putting that little less than sign towards them. And the greater than sign points to you. And here we are, justified in our own minds, looking down on everyone else. Now, we who are strong, we who are greater than, ought to bear the weakness of those who are lesser than, the work that we are given to do. Now, this brings us to our next step. Bear with one another's weakness. Bear with one another's weakness. I remember my own experience in the public school system. The school was very divided. We had the jocks, and we had the nerds. The jocks were physically stronger, the nerds were mentally smarter. And the nerds looked down on the jocks, and the jocks looked down on the nerds, and we were all very content and happy with our enemies. As we look at our lives, I wonder what divisions you have. Are they intellectual? Are they theological? Are they social? What do you have? Well, we are told here that we have a work to do, and the answer is not bullying. The answer is not an indignant attitude. But the answer is that we make up for the weakness of those around us with the strength that we have been given. And you might want to think of it in a term like this. Imagine that we all had to go on a long journey together, and we couldn't take cars or any sort of vehicle. There would be those of us who could carry stuff, wouldn't there? There would be those of us who could run on ahead, wouldn't there? There would be those of us with some other stamina. And there would be those of us who would need quite a bit of help to get along. And there would be those of us who understood the circumstances and the geography and how to get there. And we would need each of us, and each of us would have to make up for the weakness of the others. Because together as a church, we could bear burdens, we could overcome obstacles, we could deal with our fatigue, we might even move quickly here and there, we could be organized, we could have the benefit of the experience of those who have been on before us. And we could actually arrive somewhere as a family. This is the work, and this is what is accomplished as we bear with one another's weakness. Now, What are we being told this looks like here? And this brings us to our third step. Live to please others. Live to please others. Verse 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Now, what do we think our lives are for? I mean, how many of us wake up in the morning and think, how will I please someone who annoys me with their weakness? How many of us, when we have that brief moment in the house, oh, children, they've gotten their school done or their homework done. We've got 15 minutes till dinner or 15 minutes until we have to leave. What can I do to please my weaker neighbor? What can I do to help my parent? What can I do to help my sibling? What can I do to improve my house and my life? Or do we think, what video game might I be able to get in? Or for me, I have time for a 10-minute nap. We look and we see that the purpose of our lives is to please our neighbor. And if you're fast, it means you would work to please the one who's slow. If you're smart, you work to please the one who's slow. If you've got your theology figured out, if you understand that confession forward and backward, your work is to please and to help the one who does not. If you have experience, your work is to please and to help the one who has no experience. You see, the people who have annoyed or hindered you the most, God has placed here for you to please them. This is a hard thing. This is a hard thing. Some of us, our hobby is complaining about these people. The people we live with, or the people that we work with, the people who have damaged us or hindered us. But this is the work that we are told that we have here and the way that we are to live. So as you work on applying this, guess where you have to start? Your closest neighbor. Maybe your annoying little brother. Your annoying little sister. The parent that can't see it the way that you see it. Or your child that doesn't see it the way that you see it. That person in the church that's been a stumbling block for you again and again. Your co-worker who has annoyed you again and again. Those dreadful, dreadful neighbors across the street or right next door or a house or two down. These are the ones that God has placed there for you to glorify him. Now you might think this is dumb or this will never get me anywhere. Or how do you even do this? And this brings us to our fourth step. And that is follow Christ's example. Look with me at verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Christ is making reference to having been crucified and killed for you. And this is the example that's given to us. Let's look at verse 7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. The example being given of you caring for your annoying sibling or your annoying neighbor. The model that's given is Jesus Christ laying down his life for your rescue. How's that for a model to follow and an example to follow? But my little brother is so annoying. How annoying are we? How annoying have we been? Everything that we look and we see the Israelites have done, you think, like those chumps. As we look at our lives, what have we done? What chumps have we been? And yet, how have we been loved? That even the assembly in the court is called lovely. The reality and the truth that as we love, as we have been loved, Christ is glorified. Now, what all did he do? Well, we could start reading in Genesis 1:1 and work all the way through. But just some bullet points of what Christ has done for you. He left his glory. He came to those who would not receive him. He lived a blameless life. He laid down his life without complaint. And he showed himself committed to those who hated him. And what are you being called to do? But to come down off your own high horse. To give yourself to those who will not receive you. To live a blameless life. Laid down without complaint. Committed to those who very well may hate you. And then we're with Christ. You're walking in his steps. You are with him, enjoying fellowship with him. Now this brings us to our fifth step. Have this mind as family. Have this mind as family. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We look at this and we see that this is to be the reality, and we are to understand, we as family, this is what we do. What is it that we do? What are we doing now? Are we seeing ourselves as these people who bear with the weakness of each other, that this is a skill for us, this is a trade, or this is even an inherited trait that we have from our Heavenly Father, from Christ Jesus, that we live and we labor and we love to care for each other so that Christ will be glorified? See, this is to be the harmony among us. Do you sense that harmony among us? That I do something and move in such a way, and it's like singing a part of a four-part song. And you move this way, and it's like you singing this part, a four-part harmony. And each of us, we do our thing, and it flows, and it works together. And just as somebody walks in and hears the psalms being sung in their parts for the first time, and they say, whoa, what is this? That people would see us labor and love and committed and bearing one another's burdens in such a way that the world looks and sees your good works and glorifies your Father who is in heaven. This will only take place as we love as we have been loved, bearing with one another's weakness. Now, how do we do this? Why do we do this? The answer to why. Do this for the glory of Christ. Look with me at verse 7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. What does that mean, the glory of God? But that people would understand God's worth through how we have been changed. They will understand a bit of God's grace as we show grace to our closest neighbors, to our ever-expanding circles, to the whole church of God. And we are a people who have been loved deeply, so we love deeply, pointing to the one who has loved you deeply. For Christ, for his name, for his glory. We look and we see what's being accomplished then. Now, verse 13, now may the God of hope, and what is that hope? That God is going to do amazing things. We look and we look at verses 9 through 13, that the Gentiles will see us. That those who have rejected God, actively rejected God, will look and see the harmony in your midst, and with one voice then, all of us together give praise to God and worship Him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you lacking hope? Are you lacking hope? Do you think it's not going to happen? Do you think that the kingdom is not going to come? Do you think that people are not going to change? Do you think that the church is not going to grow? Do you think that we are just going to be undone and go and take our eternal dirt nap? Or is something amazing going to happen? Is God actually going to use us as a testimony and a witness? He says He is. But we may not be that stiff-necked people who will not listen and who will not turn. But as we are those people who confess their sins, who are eager to repent, and who will love as we have been loved, we look forward to the days that the rest of the world comes and sings praises to His name. Again, He says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise Him." Again, Isaiah says, "There shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope." So now we got to fall back. What is accomplishing this? You, using your strength to bear with those who annoy you, those who trip you up, those who would make you stumble, those who tick you off more than any other. When I first got saved and I started singing in the church choir of all places, I was there and there was this man named Alan. And Alan, I listened to him sing and I didn't think he was any good. And I went and I reported to my great aunt Helen Ann, "Alan, he sings really flat." She said, "Really? That surprises me. He used to sing really good." And I was surprised to hear that. Well, later on I learned that the reason Alan sang flat was Alan sang bass. I didn't even know what that was. He was accomplishing something that I was not able to accomplish. Something that I couldn't have done. And he was doing something in that service that I couldn't do. Fulfilling something. I was annoyed with him, but he was there to make something happen that I couldn't do. The people that you're annoyed with, they're there to make something happen that you can't do. Some of that's going to be sandpaper against you, a file or even a chisel. But it's a great work accomplished. It's the work that we all need done. That we will glorify God as He has called us to. And we will glorify Him like Christ. Pray with me. Our Father, You have done wonders. You continue to accomplish wonders. And we are not stiff-necked. We're not like the horse or the mule that needs a bridle to draw us closer. God, grant us hearts of repentance. Convict us of our crimes by Your Holy Spirit. And do be glorified as we bear with the weakness of those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.